Well, good morning. It's good to see everyone here this morning. And if you would, grab your Bibles. And I hope this is not too loud. I just heard me breathing it like John was doing this morning. So I'm just going to move it down a little bit. But anyways, we're going to be starting in Hebrews chapter 12 and reading in verse 12. But before I get started, just to tell y'all something a little funny. You know, the only time I feel my heartbeat this fast is when I'm exercising. So usually I get dry mouth, cotton mouth. It's almost like there's 20 cotton balls in my mouth. And so I'm prepared. I got my bottle of water with a little bit of salt in it. I got my Nerds in my pockets and a piece of gum. So hopefully I won't slur too much while I'm going on here, but it's good to see everyone here, and it's good to see if we have visitors. I'm fairly new here as well. I think we've been coming here for about 6-7 months now, and so I don't know quite everyone that well, but I'm learning some names here and there, but it's so good to be part of this family here, and I haven't had a chance to say that yet, and I just thank you so much for the warm welcome you gave me, my wife, and my two boys, and I hope in the future that we'll be getting to know a lot of y'all better, and we just something that we look forward in doing. What we're going to be looking at this morning is within Hebrews, and I know we just got done with a lesson, and I know most of us were in that in Shane's class last quarter to where he went over Hebrews. And hold on a minute, I'm having to bend my paper because this little monitor here, I'm scared everything's just going to go. And so, but anyways, for those that were not in the Hebrews class last quarter, just to give you a little bit of background and a little bit of history of what went on there. And so basically what we have is Paul, he was addressing the Hebrews Christians and that were living in Palestine, and these Christians were receiving a lot of persecution and a lot of pressure to go back to Judaism. But we see whenever we read Hebrews that that throughout that book, that they had a better covenant built upon better promises, a better mediator, which is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so nothing at all could substitute for him. Nothing could substitute for his sacrifices. And so to leave him would to leave what? We would be leaving that which is superior and going back to something that which is inferior, and in the process that they would lose their soul. And so let's look at Hebrews chapter 12 now, and I want to begin to take a note of a couple things just within 12 through 17 and pick out some words that we can apply to our lives today. But he says, therefore, strengthen the hands of the weak and the knees of the feeble, and make straight path for your feet, so that the limbs which are lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without no one. Without no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, but by it many be defiled. That there is no moral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. For you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessings, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought for it with tears. What I want us to do this morning is really, really focus on what Paul was really trying to get across to us in chapter 12 here. And to do that, turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, look at chapter 1. I started on a PowerPoint, I think, 2 days ago, and I just could not get done with it. But hopefully y'all can follow along with me just by telling y'all what to turn to. But 1 Peter chapter 1, because what I believe Paul is, what he is really trying to get across to us here is how to be a successful Christian, how to be a successful sojourner. Because whenever we look at 1 Peter chapter 1, we see that Christians are described certain things when they start their life with him. And so basically what Paul is doing, he's trying to encourage these Christians. He's saying, listen, don't give up on the Lord. He's saying, do not give up on your faith. And these are true Christians that he is talking about. They were not pretending to be Christians. But these were people that had obeyed the gospel of Christ, and he's encouraging them throughout this whole book in Hebrews. Do not give up on the Lord, but remain faithful to God. And it's the same encouragement that they received is the same encouragement that we receive today. But what are we as Christians? You know, from the moment we said, yes, I believe that Christ is the Son of God, and we were baptized in this watery grave of baptism, what did we put on? And we can look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. He describes them as being aliens. It was funny because when I remember when Landon or one of them were younger and I mentioned the word aliens, I mean, their eyes got really big. I mean, they thought it was little green men. But we're not talking about those types of individuals. But we're talking about us. When we look at us as Christians, we become and we put on certain names. But he says in verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who are chosen. So he's describing these people as being chosen people of God. And they are enjoying the blessings of their salvation. We could get a better understanding of this and just turn over with me to chapter 2 and look at verse 9. Chapter 2 and verse 9. He says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellency of him who calls you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Now really notice in verse 10 and 11 here, for you once were not a people, but now you are a people of God. You have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lust, which rages war against the soul. So this is the idea of being a sojourner. Can you imagine being on a long journey and at the end of that journey coming home? Now just to give you an example of this, there was probably back in my early 20s, me and a friend of mine decided to go to Costa Rica. And going to the east side of the island, it was just one straight road that went all the way down to the Panama Canal. You know how terrified I was of that? There was men on each side of the road. We got to one little village, and they all carried machetes and just someone that was a little immature 20-year-old. I think I was 19 or 20. But anyways, and then when we got all the way down to the Panama Canal, there were guys with machine guns standing there. And so, of course, it was terrifying. Why was it so terrifying? Because I was in a position and in an environment where I was not comfortable in. And yes, I was afraid. I was ready to get back home. And so when you think about our spiritual life, brethren, this world is a place that we should not be comfortable in. And when we look at this world, it should be a place that we should consider it as we don't even belong here. Spiritually speaking, the home that we should be yearning for is heaven. That's our home. That's the promise. That's the rest. And that's our hope that God has given to us. In Hebrews chapter 4, we can look at verse 1. He describes this promise as being a rest. He says, our rest and our promises, he said, therefore, let us fear. If, while this promise remains of entering his rest, brethren, our promise and our rest is heaven. That's what God gives us. And all of us are on this journey together, and that's why the Bible describes us as being sojourners. That's why the Bible describes us as being pilgrims and aliens. Because this earth is not our permanent residence. And when you think about where we are now, I'm afraid that too many people and too many Christians are making this world their home. And we shouldn't look at heaven as just something that's just in a trivial, unimportant way. Because, brethren, if we miss heaven, you know what we've just missed? We've just missed it all. if we miss that. And we shouldn't look at this place as this is a place that we're going to always be, because it's not. And when you look at the things that are important to us, it's not our jobs, it's not our possessions, it's not our relationships. But what is the number one relationship that comes in mind that should be important to us more than anything in this world? And that's our relationship with our God and Father in heaven. And so when you think about this idea of being a sojourner and a pilgrim and an alien, Peter is telling us to sustain from fleshly lust. Why is he telling us to sustain from fleshly lust? Because it wages war against our soul. And then when you look at Hebrews chapter 12 and understanding that this world is not our home, and then when you go to John and see what John says, he says, love not the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And then he talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and then he talks about the pride of life. And what does he say about every one of these things? He says that they will pass. It is something that will not last. And then when you look at Hebrews chapter 12, the question is, brethren, how can I be a successful sojourner? Because the fact of the matter is, brethren, we have all known and we all know of someone that's been involved in this journey. Now, to tell on myself a little bit, you know, there was a time in my life when, yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ, and I confessed my faith into him, and I repented of my sins, and I was baptized in this watery grave of baptism. But you know what happened? Somewhere along the way, I became distracted. And somewhere along the way, I became weak in my faith. And I was not being a successful Christian. I was not being a successful pilgrim, brethren. And all of us are on this journey together. And it's by God's grace, and it is by his power. And he wants to strengthen us, and he wants to be with us. But you know what? You know what I had to ask myself back in my early 20s? I had to let him back in. That's what I needed to do. I needed to let him back in my life. And when you think about being this idea of being a successful sojourner, also think about the idea of requirements that are involved in this. Think about the things that are mandatory. Think about the things that are involved in this. And keep two things in mind, brethren, because we cannot do this second one if we do not get this first one, right. Seriously ask yourself, and this is something that we all need to do every day, not just back when I was back in my early 20s, but it's something that we need to continue to ask ourselves daily, and that is, how are we doing spiritually on a day-to-day basis? Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, we all should know that passage. He says, examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. And then at the end of that, let me turn to it real quick. Because he says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? You know, I was reading this before I got up here, and that's a scary word. What if we are disqualified because we're not living up to God's standard, and we're not living the life that we ought to live? But seriously, think about this, brethren. When we look at our own lives, how are we doing spiritually? Are we growing in our faith, or are we becoming weak? Because like I said, we cannot do the second one unless we got that first one right. And that is also, we also have a responsibility toward each other and toward our brothers and sisters in Christ. He says in verse 12, therefore strengthen the hands of the weak and the knees of the feeble, and make straight path for your feet, so that the limbs which are lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. And so we have an idea of strengthening the weak. Why? Why do we have this idea of strengthening the weak? So that they will not be lost. Turn to Isaiah. We already had this read this morning during the scripture reading. Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 3. He says, encourage the exalted and strengthen the feeble. Didn't we just read that? That's exactly what Paul is saying. He is talking about strengthening the weak. He is talking about encouraging the weak. And so it's not only myself that I'm concerned about. But you know what else he is saying? He says, you know what? We need to be strong. Each and every one of us needs to be strong. We need to look around us. And if we know that we see a brother, a sister who are weak, who are tired, who's exhausted and having struggles in their life, brother, we need to help them because that's our responsibility. He says in verse 3, encourage the exalted and strengthen the feeble. Say to those who have anxious hearts, take courage, not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. The recompense of God will come, but he will save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer. And the tongues of the mute will shout for joy, and the waters will break forth in the wilderness, and the streams in the Arabah. The scorched land will become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water, and the haunts of the jackal its resting place. Grasses become reeds and rushes. A highway will be there, a roadway, and it will be called the highway of holiness. Now, keep that up here in your mind when that word holiness, because we're going to hit on that just a little bit more. The highway of holiness. And understand, why is it called the highway of holiness? The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for him who walks that way. No lions will be there, nor will there be any violent beast goes up on it. These will not be found there, but the redeemed will walk there, and the ransom of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion with everlasting joy on their heads. They will find gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Paul, or brother, that's what Paul exactly is telling us. That's exactly what he's alluding to here. And brother, we can't allow sin to discourage us, because you know what? This world is full of it. And we know just what's happening within our society that we live in today. We see it all around us, and we can't allow it to dishearten us, to discourage us, to drag us down, and to make us weaken our faith, and to make us miss heaven. And I know we have our trials and we have our tribulations. And the Lord knows that we have our fair shares of them as well. But rather allowing those things to hinder our faith and to make us weak and to make us leave the Lord, we all need to press on and help one another, because we are a family in Christ Jesus. James says that our trials and our tribulations should refine us and to make us stronger and make us to rely on God even more. But on the other hand, you know what? We can help and encourage one another, but there's one thing that we cannot do. We cannot make that choice for you. And so if you look at your life and you realize that you are weak, the Lord calls us to grow stronger, to become better, and to become improve in their faith. You know, but going a little bit further and going a little bit deeper with this, just found out something, you know, getting a little teary-eyed makes my mouth water. So, you know, going a little bit further and deeper with this, you know, we need to help our brothers and sisters, even if they disappoint us. You know I disappointed some people. You know, and I know I disappointed some people back in my younger days. You know what? But I'm so glad those people, they took a step back and they realized that the struggles and the things that were going through my life at that time, and they came to talk to me. Because you know what that says about that person? I feel like Shane Scott up here. But it says about that person that a lot. It says about them that they are a person that's not selfish at all. And it takes some courage for someone to do that. And it takes some spiritual strength in our brothers and sisters to go talk to someone that's weak in faith. And not only that, it also takes truly, truly loving your brothers and sisters from the heart to do something like that. Because you know what else? Even when we do something like that, we may hurt their feelings, and they may say something that hurt our feelings. But you know what? True love and godly love hurts sometimes. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 12, he says, therefore, strengthen the hands of the weak and the knees of the feeble, and make straight path for your feet, so that the limbs which are lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. He says what? He says, rather be what? He says, rather be healed. That means, brethren, if you are weak, make yourself strong again. The Lord says he wants to see you grow in your faith. He wants to see you edified in the faith. But you know what? Like I said before, you're going to have to want that help. Because it's something that we cannot do for you. We can help encourage one another. But on the other hand, if we're going to help encourage one another, there's something else that you're going to also have to do. Because when we fall and things like that come into our lives, what are those things called? In Hebrews, we can see at the beginning of Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to have to remove those obstacles. We're going to have to remove those hindrances from our lives that cause us to become hardened and so forth. So whatever hindrances is in our lives, before we can get past that, you know what else we're going to have to do? We're going to have to remove it from our heart, and we're going to also have to remove it from our mind. But look at Hebrews chapter 12 and look at verse 1. He said, therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sins which so easily entangles us. And let us run this run with endurance the race that is set before us. And he says, who do we look unto for this? We look unto Jesus, the author and finisher, and in some versions says protector of our faith. And so what is Paul saying here? Paul is saying that we can do it. Every one of us can do that. How? Looking unto Jesus as our primary source, as our primary example, as our primary king, as our primary savior. That's how we can do it, and also we can do it by looking at those men that have gone before us in Hebrews chapter 11. And so I don't know how many of y'all here, but you know there are even men now in my life today that are really big examples and really big encouragements to me. And I know that is probably as well as for y'all as too. But you know what? Some people will just say, you know what? I just keep on making the same mistakes over and over again. Well, you know what? You know, some of us do. I'm pretty sure some, if not all of us, we keep on making the same mistakes over and over again on some things. But you know what? He says that whenever we do something like that, we need to look at the situation and not put ourselves into a situation to where we know that we are going to be tempted. Because the Lord says we need to stay out of those situations and we need to avoid those and make our path what? Straight. And in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3, Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3, talking about making our path straight. He said, a voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness, and make smooth the desert, a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low, and let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord, listen to this, then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Brethren, the point I'm trying to make here is that when he says, make your path straight, he is saying we need to make sure that our hindrances, we need to make sure our obstacles are out of the way. Why? So that we can press on and make decisions and choices that will help us grow as Christians that we ought to be. And then, you know what he said? You know what he says then? He says, then we will see the glory of our Lord. And in Hebrews chapter 12, what we've been going over so far this morning is that as far as talking about being a sojourner, growing in the Lord, and the reason, brethren, I believe that we see so many Christians that really do not reach that true spirituality, having a true relationship in their lives with our Lord and Savior, is because they made this world their home. They do not pursue God the way they ought to. Because look at verse 14 there. Verse 14, I want you to take note of a word. He said, pursue peace with all men, and a sanctification without no one will see the Lord. Look at that word, pursue. That word is the same word as follow. And so as Christians, we have to pursue something. There's an objective in mind here. And so the Hebrews brethren were being encouraged throughout Hebrews to maintain this peaceful relationship with the members of that community. And how was that peaceful relationship going to continue? Was it going to continue through a harsh attitude? No, it wasn't going to continue with the harsh attitude, but it was going to continue with a proactive love. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Because when we're talking about this type of love, and he's talking about having a proactive love, it's not a love that says, okay, I love each and every one of y'all that's in this auditorium now. But if I show no commitment, if I show no action, and no true spirituality in that, then what is it? He says in verse 1, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if there's any affection and compassion, make my joy complete of being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent to one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty deceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also the interests of others. What he is saying here, he's saying, you let this mind, you let this attitude, you let this spirit, you let this disposition be in you as it also is in Christ Jesus. And then he gives us an example of Christ, and then he gives us an example of Timothy. And what did Paul say about Timothy? Paul says, he says, I have no one like-minded. And then we can look at Epaphroditus. What did Epaphroditus do? He made himself sick for the work of the Lord. Why? Why did he make himself sick? Because he was concerned more about his brethren than he was about himself. Why? Because that's the type of proactive love that he had. And so, therefore, he loved the Lord with all of his heart, and he was going to do whatever it took for the sake of the Lord and him doing, even if it made him sick. And so, but there's another word that I want us to, we're getting close here. So, but look at also in verse 7, that same verse that we just read. Because there's something else that he says that we need to pursue, and if you, Look at that. There's one word that really sticks out to me. Some versions may use it different than what my version. Some versions use holiness and some sanctification. It means the same thing. And so when he says we need to put on holiness or sanctification, what does that mean? What it means to pursue this idea of holiness, it means to be set apart from what? He says to be set apart from sin and ungodliness. And so he says, I am to pursue this idea of holiness and sanctification, and that means putting on divine holiness. Remember what 1 Peter chapter 2, 11 and 12 says? We read that at the beginning of this talk this morning. He says, Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lust, which rages war against the soul. And so as a Christians, we ought to produce this idea of holiness. And if I'm supposed to produce this idea of holiness, what are Christians not to consistently, and John Haley touched on this a little bit this morning during class, what are we not to consistently engage in? And that is sin. I think you used the word habitually engaged in, and that is sin. Why? Because it will affect our journey to heaven. And when you think about this idea of holiness, and when you think about this idea of sanctification and goodness and morality, how many Christians are consistently and habitually engaging in sin? Brethren, as Christians, every one of us are on this journey. What does that mean? That means that if we're on this journey toward heaven, and if we're on this journey trying to strive and to improve our lives every day that we live, because he tells us to examine our lives, we need to abstain from sin. And normally we know, and last time I did this, I listed a bunch of things, but I'm not going to do that today, because we all know the difference between right and wrong. We know when we're sinning, but there's those sins that we don't even know that we're aware of. But usually we know that when we are sinning or when we're not sinning. And the only reason I'm not going to list these things here, because, you know, we hear them so often, but there are some things that we don't hear quite often about when it comes to the family of God in an assembly like this as brothers and sisters in Christ. Because there's not one thing that, there's probably some more, but there's one word that can destroy a relationship between a brother and sister, and gossip. You know, I have seen over the past, in my 30-something years of being a Christian, of relationships, brothers and sisters being destroyed because of something like that. And I can go on and say, you know, and also those things that we, you know, say, you know. And the list I had, you know, we could say drunkenness, sexual immorality, fornication, adultery, lying, stealing, things like that. But let's look at the things that we kind of put on the back undercover. What about the things that we watch? What about the things that we listen to? What about the things that we participate in? And what about the things that we wear? You know, the Lord says that we need to abstain from sin. You know the easiest way to do that? The most easiest way to do that, brethren, is to build a relationship. Make sure that you have an honest and sincere and a true relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, that's something that I have to do every day of my life. Wake up every morning and examine myself. Sometimes I fail, and sometimes I succeed. You know, and I like to put it this way. I don't know how many of y'all have a spiritual roller coaster that you're on. You know, sometimes I feel like I'm up here, and other times I'm down here. But the easiest way to do it, brothers and sisters, is to have an honest and sincere relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And to say, kids, young adults, that when you feel peer pressure into doing something that your friends are doing, the easiest way to get out of it is to say no. Don't allow people to influence you into doing something that's contrary to God's word. It's because, and to say, no, I'm not going to do those things because I'm a Christian. And I want to do what God wants me to do and have a true and honest and sincere relationship with him. And also to put on holiness. But listen to what he says. We've been talking about being a sojourner, pursue peace with all mankind, and the sanctification without no one. Listen to this. Without no one will see the Lord. What he is saying there, he says, you cannot be in a relationship with God or belong to him or go to heaven without holiness and without sanctification. No one will see the Lord, not here or there. Finally, brethren, one more point, and then we're going to close. He gives us a caution in verse 15 and 17 here, and I want you to take notice of this, because he says, look diligently. Some versions say, see to it or look diligently. It's like, I was thinking of this morning and about my kids, because, you know, if he says it that way, why would he say it that way if it didn't matter how we lived? He wouldn't. But he says, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, but by it many be defiled. He says, look diligently, you see to it. It's like telling my kids, all right, boys, come here. Landon and Parker, you listening? All right, you better see to it that you do not go near this cliff. And you better listen diligently to what I'm saying. So that's basically, you understand me? I can hear Parker saying, yes, sir. So anyways, but that's the warning and the caution he's giving each and every one of us. He's saying, you see to it. You look diligently. Because what does he mean when he says, fail the grace of God? What he is saying is, he is saying that when you allow sin to come into your life, and when you allow sin to grow in whatever way it does and to take root, he says you're going to fail the grace of God. And brethren, our toleration of sin not can only our ruin our relationship with our Heavenly Father, but it can ruin our chance of going to heaven. And also, it can ruin my relationship with y'all. That's what sin does. It ruins relationships. Brethren, sin is real. And it's out there. And it's so important to understand that we need to be strengthening and encouraging one another and doing those things for the glory of our Father and God in heaven. Because why? Because he tells us to do those things. And that's why he says that when we help one another, we need to grow in love for one for another. And also we need to help carry each other's burdens. You know, if you really haven't done a word study on that, I encourage you to do exactly and to see what that is, what is that's talking about. And but then when he also says we need to be lifting each other up, forgive one another, exhort one another, serve one another. Why do we do all these things? So that we can all make that journey together toward heaven. I thank you so much for your good attention this morning. And I won't take any more of your time. But if you're subject to the invitation, there's no better opportunity than right now to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, to confess your faith in him and to repent of your sins and to be baptized for the remission of your sins so that you can start that new life with him. Yes, there's challenges and there's disappointments and there's tribulations on the way through this journey. But you have friends and family and fellow brothers and sisters in Christ that can help you. If you're subject to the invitation, please come, let us stand and sing.